Good morning, everybody. And thank you for being here today to share the Dharma together. As usual, please feel free to shift your posture if you feel the need, but please do so mindfully and quietly. And however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. Are we getting a little bit of feedback here? How's that? Yeah, much better. Can everybody hear okay? According to Philip Kaplan-Roshi, the three pillars of Zen are Zazen, sitting practice, Taisho, talks by the teacher, and Doksan, private instruction with the teacher. If I had to pick only one, it's a no-brainer. Zazen. We say it over and over. Without Zazen, there is no Zen. Zazen is the heart of our practice. Whatever we do here, sit, walk, talk, study, work on koans, has no meaning whatsoever without Zazen. Zazen is sometimes called Zen meditation. There's really no such thing as Zen meditation. There's only Zazen. If you're under the impression that you learned Zazen from the teachers here, let me apologize for the misconception. No one can teach Zazen to another. We teach a method, a path, which, if followed resolutely and courageously for long enough and deeply enough, may lead into Zazen. But only Zazen can teach Zazen. Today we'll look at a koan, a case in the Shoyoroku, the Book of Equanimity. The Shoyoroku was originally a collection of verses by the 12th century Soto master Tiantong Hongji. It was later taken up by Wansong Xingqiu, who added introductions and commentaries to produce a collection similar in format to the earlier Hekigan Roku, the Blue Cliff Record. So Shoyoroku case number 7. Wansong's introduction. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue. Each has one ability. The eyebrows are above. Warriors, farmers, crafters, merchants. Each returns to a job. The unskilled one is always at leisure. How does a real Chan master devise techniques? And the main case reads, Yao Shan had not ascended the rostrum for a long time. The head monk said, all the monks have been anxious for instruction for a long time. Please, your reverence, won't you give a sermon? Yao Shan ordered the bell and drum. The assembly gathered. Yao Shan ascended the rostrum, and after sitting there for a while, he descended and returned to his room. The head monk followed him and asked, you consented to give a sermon. How is it that you uttered not a word? Yao Shan said, for sutras, there are sutra specialists. For shastras, there are shastra specialists. What do you want from this old monk? Now, if I had any integrity at all, I would do as Yao Shan. I would sit here in silence for a while and then get down and leave the Zendo. But some might think that that's being stingy with the teaching. So I will continue to open my stinking mouth for a little bit. Y'all came here to hear a Taisho, a talk, so I won't disappoint, although Yao Shan would most likely not approve. Wansong's introduction tells us something about what to expect in this case. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue. Each has one ability. The eyebrows are above. Warriors, farmers, crafters, merchants, each returns to a job. Yes, each thing, each person, each phenomenon, each dharma comes forth just as itself, or as herself or himself. Eyes see, ears hear, nose smells, tongue tastes the salt and sour. Farmers farm, merchants buy and sell, crafters create their wares. Each has a place in the great scheme of things, an identity, a self. But the unskilled one is always at leisure. Who is this unskilled one at leisure? Who is the one who has no role, no identity, no self? Yong Jia says, there is a leisurely one, walking the Tao beyond philosophy, not avoiding fantasy, not seeking truth. And how does a real Chan master devise techniques? Or does he? Yao Shan had not ascended the rostrum for a long time. Well, long time or short time is a matter of opinion. I guess it was a long time according to the monks. But to Yao Shan, maybe no time at all. But the natives are restless. So the head monk, feeling an obligation to the assembly, asks him, all the monks have been anxious for instruction for a long time. Please, your reverence, won't you give a sermon? The monks at Mount Yao wanted a sermon. They wanted words. Instruction, maybe. Some inspiration and encouragement. So Yao Shan has them ring the bell and pound the drum. Ah, at last, we're going to hear a Taisho. But Yao Shan ascended the rostrum, and after sitting there for a while, he descended and returned to his room. He just sits for a while and then descends. What a disappointment. Maybe the monks felt a bit similar to that mob on Vulture Peak when the Buddha just held up a flower. What? No talk? What did we come all this way for? It's quite a long climb up to the peak. Yao Shan sits. The Buddha holds up a flower. No words. Most students find this an easy koan to demonstrate. At least they think it's easy. You think you know the answer? You think you see Yao Shan? You couldn't be farther off. The head monk thought he saw Yao Shan. He didn't. In the Mountains and Waters Sutra, Dogen writes, "From time immemorial, the mountains have been the dwelling place of the great sages. Wise ones and sages have all made the mountains their own chambers, their own body and mind. And through these wise ones and sages, the mountains have been actualized. However many great sages and wise ones we suppose have assembled in the mountains, ever since they have entered the mountains, no one has met a single one of them. There is only the actualization of the life of the mountains. Not a single trace of their having entered remains. The countenance of the mountains is completely different when we are in the world, gazing off at the mountains, than when we are in the mountains, meeting the mountains." In his book, The Eight Gates of Zen, John Dido Laurie quotes this passage, but he replaces mountains with zazen, which makes transparently clear Dogen's meaning. From time immemorial, zazen has been the dwelling place of the great sages. Wise ones and sages have all made zazen their own chambers, their own body and mind. And through these wise ones and sages, zazen has been actualized. However many great sages and wise ones we suppose have entered into zazen, ever since they have entered into zazen, no one has met a single one of them. There is only the actualization of the life of zazen. Not a single trace of their having entered remains. The countenance of zazen is completely different when we are in the world gazing off at zazen than when we are in zazen, meeting zazen. There is no such thing as your zazen, or my zazen, or even the Buddha's zazen. There is only zazen. Or to put it another way, your zazen is my zazen, is Dogen's zazen, is the Buddha's zazen, and the zazen of all the Buddhas and ancestors since before the empty eon. Zazen is not something you do. It is something you enter. It has been there since the empty eon, which is to say before time existed. When you enter zazen, it is the same zazen as all the Buddhas and ancestors. It doesn't matter whether you are doing it for the first time or the 10,001st time. Many people can enter the mountains. Many people can walk the same path. Some have walked it many times before and are thoroughly familiar with it. Others have set foot on it for the first time. All are on the same path. All are in the mountains. All have entered zazen. All the techniques and stratagems that we use, counting and following the breath, koan practice, shikantaza, mindfulness practice, sutra study, are just that, stratagems and techniques. They are skillful means, and they are important. They can point the direction, fingers pointing at the moon, but not one of these in itself reaches the heart of zazen. No person enters Zazen. If there is a bit of difference, it is the difference between heaven and earth. You enter Zazen only to the extent that body and mind have dropped away. This may be just a little bit in the beginner or a great deal in the experienced practitioner. In the Fukan Zazengi, the universal recommendation for Zazen, Dogen writes, "The Zazen I speak of is not a way of developing concentration or learning meditation. It is not a means to enlightenment. It is enlightenment itself. Put aside all involvements and suspend all affairs. Do not think in terms of good or bad. Do not judge true or false. Give up the operations of mind, intellect, and consciousness. Stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. Have no agenda, not even enlightenment. If I cross my legs and assume an upright posture with the intention of developing occult powers, that is not Zazen. And never will be. Ditto for levitation, mind reading, and all that sort of stuff. If I sit with the intention of attaining enlightenment, that is also wrong. So is intending to become a Buddha. The only intent is this: to allow body and mind to drop away, to let go of the self. This is the entry into Zazen. Dogen goes on. This being the case, intelligence or lack of it is not an issue. Make no distinction between the dull and sharp-witted. If you concentrate your effort single-mindedly, and that in itself is wholeheartedly engaging the way. Practice realization is naturally undefiled. Going forward is, after all, an everyday affair. In order to go beyond the outermost limits, which is where the Buddhas and ancestors are found, there is just this one method. Therefore, Buddhas and ancestors have engaged in this method without having any other practice. Buddha Dharma, meaning Zazen, cannot be known by a person. For this reason, since olden times, no ordinary person has realized Buddha Dharma. No practitioner of the lesser vehicles has mastered Buddha Dharma. Because it is realized by Buddhas alone, it is said, only Buddha and a Buddha can thoroughly master it. Buddhas and ancestors hand it down to Buddhas and ancestors. To the extent that you drop body and mind, to that extent you are Buddha. And to that extent, and to the extent that you are Buddha, you enter Zazen. And to the extent that you enter Zazen, you transmit the Dharma. So, Yaoshan sits silently. He enters into Zazen. And by doing so, he transmits the Dharma. It's all he can do. It's all any of us can do to transmit the Buddha Dharma. Sentient beings do not transmit Buddha Dharma. Only Buddhas can transmit Buddha Dharma. When you reach the heart of Zazen, you are Buddha. Then Yaoshan steps down, and the head monk comes running after him. "You consented to give a sermon. How is it that you uttered not a word?" Yaoshan said, "For sutras there are sutra specialists. For shastras there are shastra specialists. What do you want from this old monk?" There are teachers and schools of Buddhism that emphasize the study of sutras, which are the discourses of the Buddha, and the shastras, the many commentaries that have been written. But to teach sutras is to teach words and concepts. To teach shastras is to teach words and concepts. What do you want from this old monk? What do you want from your teachers? What do you want from your practice? From yourself? What does Yaoshan teach? Be careful here. Whether you are a beginner or an advanced practitioner, to whatever extent you reach Zazen, the cushion you sit on, the mat beneath you, the wall that confronts you, all reach Zazen. The people sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you, all reach Zazen. The trees, the grass, the rivers and mountains, the moon and stars, all reach Zazen. Zazen transcends all time, all space, all thought. It can never be reached by the reasoning, discursive mind. It is a place where every object loses its name, yet comes forth shining with luminous mystery, fraught with unknown and unknowable possibility. Absent Zazen, you are condemned to live as a shadow in a land of shadows, mistaking them for a reality they will never have. You will be, as Wu Men says, a ghost clinging to bushes and grasses, blown about helplessly by the winds of change. Without Zazen, there is no Zen. You can study sutras, you can read the commentaries, and all it gets you is an intellectual understanding, which ultimately is of no use. You can even study and discuss koans and be wasting your life. I may be coming across somewhat harshly here, but please let me reassure you. We have the tools, and the tools work. We have a sangha, a harmony, which provides support and companionship on this path. We have the teachers who do the best they can. But there's no point in sugarcoating it. It's a long, steep, difficult path. And when you truly enter Zazen, you enter alone. You are completely alone. You are alone and complete. You are whole. You are one. Together with all beings, we realize the way.